Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Amen. Thank you, Jess. And Northern Ireland this weekend, so we thank you for your video. And it's just amazing how Jeremy into something fresh, something bold, something that's transformational. And this is more than just another sermon series. It's a divine invitation. An invitation to break out of the boxes that we've been living in, to break free from the ceilings that we've accepted in our lives, and to walk in the fullness of who God has created all of us to be as individuals. And this sermon series is called Limitless Living, a life with no limits. And let me tell you, it's not just hype, it's not motivational fluff, it's the heartbeat of heaven for his people. To stop living small when God has called us to live wide, deep and high in him. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that captures this perfectly. The Apostle Paul was writing there with urgency, he was writing with affection, and he says to the believers in Corinth, and I'm going to read from the Message paraphrase from here, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 through to 13. And we're basing the whole series on these verses. It says, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide, open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. And I just love these verses. I love when it says your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Can I say the same to you today, church? Can I remind you that your life isn't small? That your calling isn't small, that your future isn't small, but maybe, just maybe, you've been living in a small way. Maybe fear, doubt, religion, or the wounds of your past have fenced you in. But I believe that God is calling you today into limitless living. A life shaped not by your circumstances, but by his power, by his grace, and his promises. But what is the problem? The problem is that we're often living limited lives. Let's be real, let's be honest today. Too many Christians are living below their God-given potential. We've let life beat us down. We've let disappointment redefine our expectations. We've let fear decide how far we're going to go. Then over time, the edge of faith gets a little bit dull. The fire of purpose starts to get smothered. The joy of expectation gets replaced with spiritual survival mode. We say that we believe in a big God, but then we act like he's small. We declare that he's able, but then we live our lives Monday through to Saturday bound in fear. We sing about freedom, but we walk around shackled by anxiety, shame, and regret. And let me tell you, church, this is not the kind of life that Jesus wants to give us. Jesus didn't rise from the grave so we could live cautiously. He rose so we could live courageously. Fully alive, fully surrendered, and fully free. Jesus gives us the invitation to enter this wide open, spacious life. God is not calling you into a small, confined life. He's calling you a wide open life. A spacious, spirit-empowered, joy-saturated, destiny-driven life that defies all human logic. The life Paul describes isn't one of endless striving, but of supernatural expansion. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. The fences, as Paul is saying here, aren't from God. The smallness we experience in our life isn't imposed by heaven. It's internal, it's emotional, it's spiritual. And let me tell you, church, it must be broken in our lives. God is saying to us today, stop letting fear write your future. Stop letting yesterday rob tomorrow. Stop letting the world define what is and what isn't possible in your life. Let me show you what limitless living looks like. Throughout this series, we're going to explore key truths that are foundational for limitless living today. And this is much, much more than just positive thinking or human potential. It's about aligning your life with the limitless nature of God. See, God's vision for one of the greatest revelations you can have is that God sees much more in you than you could ever see in yourself. Gideon thought he was the weakest man in the weakest tribe, but God called him mighty warrior. Why? Because God speaks not to who you are, but to who he's called you to become. That's who God speaks to who he's called you to become. Limitless living is stepping into God's vision for your life, even when it terrifies your comfort zone. It's trusting that if he called you, he'll equip you. If he started something in you, he will finish it. And I believe that this is going to be a season of breaking limits that we have in our life. Found Church, it's time to break those self-imposed limits that we've placed on ourselves. The limits of fear, the limits of your past, the limits of religious boxes, the limits of just enough, the limit of I could never. How many of us have said that? I could never. It's time to break that off. I'm expecting that you will realize that this is your season to rise, to run, and to live fully free in Jesus. A season that we will live by the words of Paul, where he says, open up your lives, live openly, live expansively. That's the call, that's the invitation that he's placing before all of us. That's the cry of God's heart for you in this season. Over the next several weeks, can I encourage you to posture our hearts to receive a fresh wind of faith as we explore this? Let's believe for more, let's expect more, let's pray bigger, let's dream wilder, let's walk freer. Let's declare together, church, that I will not be fenced in. I will not live small. I will live the wide, open, spacious life that God has called me to. By his Spirit, I will live a limitless life. That's the invitation. That's what you can declare over yourself today. And so today I want to kick off our new series, and I want to speak today about having limitless faith. Limitless faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says this: now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And in the New King James Version, that's probably much more familiar, it says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, we're living in a time where the world is shouting at us limitations, fear, impossibilities. But we serve a God who is not bound by what we see, feel, or experience. We serve the God of the impossible. The one who parts the seas, the one who raises the dead, the one who calls things that are not as though they were. That's the God that we serve. And this morning I believe that the Holy Spirit is something, is stirring something in us. And he's stirring a call to limitless faith in each and every single one of us. A faith that defies what we can see, touch, or even reason in our mind. A faith that is grounded not in our circumstances, but in the unchanging character of a limitless God that we serve. So what is limitless faith? So let's begin by understanding the kind of faith that we are talking about here. Hebrews 11 verse 1 defines it powerfully. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And this is not merely a poetic phrase or a philosophical idea. It's a profound spiritual truth that we see here. Faith, according to Scripture, has substance. It has weight. It's not abstract or vague or emotional. Faith is not just simply hoping for the best, nor is it a form of religious optimism. True faith is rooted in a firm conviction that what God has said will come to pass. And even when every visible sign in our life suggests otherwise, we still believe. We still believe. This kind of faith does not depend on circumstances or on what our natural eyes can see. It stands strong when there's no physical evidence to support it. It's the assurance that God's promises are reliable and that his word is unfailing. Faith is what causes us to hold on to hope when everything else is falling apart. It's what allows us to trust God's character, even when we don't understand his methods or his timing. And we just apply that straight to our building project. We trust God's character in that, even when we don't understand his methods or his timing. So what is limitless faith? It's a faith that goes beyond the boundaries of human logic, beyond the limits of our resources, and beyond the reach of our understanding. Limitless faith is not intimidated by impossibility. It does not stop at what is probable or reasonable. It presses forward into the realm of the miraculous. It declares, even though I can't see it, I know that God is working. Even when I can't feel it, I trust that he is near. That's not just a nice song that we sing on a Sunday. That's a truth that we can declare over our life. Even when everything around me says no, I'm still going to believe in God's yes. Limitless faith is what allowed Abraham to believe that he would become the father of many nations when he was old and when he was childless. It's what enabled Moses to stretch out his staff over the Red Sea and believe that it would part. It's what caused Peter to step out of the boat and walk on the water. It's the same faith that lives in us today through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not a lesser version, but the same divine gift. This is where it gets tricky for me, because this kind of faith does not look at the bank account before obeying God. That's where I stumble. Like, how much is it going to cost? I don't know if I can do that, but God says go. It's tricky. It's a kind of faith that does not consult the calendar before trusting in God's timing. It does not measure outcomes before deciding to believe. Limitless faith says, God, I trust you no matter what. No matter what it looks like, no matter how long it takes, no matter how hard it seems, I trust you. Ultimately, limitless faith is not about the size of our belief, but the greatness of and the one who we believe. That is limitless faith. The one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. It's not faith in faith itself, but faith in God. Limitless faith puts no restrictions on what God can do. Why? Because it knows that with God, all things are possible. Limitless faith is a faith that goes beyond the senses. See, we live in a world that conditions us to rely heavily on our five senses to believe only what we can see, hear, see, touch, hear, taste, or smell. And from a young age, we're taught to trust the observed evidence, to lean on logic, and to be guided by what is tangible and provable. And while these senses are God-given and have a great value in our natural lives, let me tell you, they are limited in the spiritual realm. Faith, however, operates on a totally different wavelength. It's not bound by what the eyes can see or what the mind can fully comprehend. Faith walks by, not by sight, but by the Spirit. A powerful illustration of this can always be found in the Bible, 2 Kings chapter 6. The prophet Elisha and his servant find themselves surrounded by the armies of Aram. The servant, understandably, in that moment is overwhelmed with fear and he cries out, "Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do?" He saw only the threat. He only saw the danger. He only saw the hopelessness of that situation. But Elisha, a man walking by faith and not fear, he just calmly replies, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are far more than those that are with them." Then he prays, "Lord, open his eyes so that he may see." Suddenly, the servant's spiritual eyes are opened, and he sees the hills full of horses and chariots of fire, the heavenly armies of God surrounding them and protecting them. So let me ask a question. What changed in that moment? Not the enemy, not the reality of their circumstances. What changed was the servant's perspective. His natural eyes saw danger, but his spiritual eyes, well, they saw deliverance. The situation hadn't shifted, but his understanding of the situation totally changed. This is the essence of faith, trusting that God is working even when we cannot see him at work. And let me remind you today that faith is not a denial of reality. It's an affirmation of a greater unseen reality that is happening in our lives. When we walk by faith, we acknowledge that there is more going on than our natural senses can ever perceive. We are invited to trust the one who sees the end from the beginning, who is sovereign over all things. God is often working behind the scenes, orchestrating miracles, opening doors, fighting battles, even when we cannot see it. Our responsibility is not to try and figure everything out. Our responsibility is to trust the one who holds everything in his hands. Faith is in essence a spiritual sight, seeing through God's eyes instead of our own eyes. But what is the foundation of a limitless faith? Let me tell you, it's just simply who God is. That's the foundation of a limitless faith. It's not rooted in our emotions, our own strength, or our own understanding. It doesn't depend on how confident we feel on any given day, how perfect our circumstances are, or how much we know about the future. Like, a limitless faith doesn't depend if you had a good cup of coffee in the morning, you woke up, you had a good sleep, and you're feeling really good, and it's the perfect moment for you to speak to that person. Like, that never happens. Like, you never get all these things tied up on a row. There'll always be an excuse. Instead, limitless faith is grounded in something, or rather someone, far greater. The unchanging character and true nature of God. That's what we're relying upon, not our own self. To live with that limitless faith, we must first know and trust who God is. So let me just remind you that he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful. Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." See, there's no situation that's too difficult, no enemy too strong, and no problem that's too complex for God. His power has no limits. And when we understand that, our faith can soar beyond what we can see. Secondly, he's omniscient. He is all-knowing. Psalm 147 verse 5 says, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." God sees the beginning and the end. He knows every detail of our lives, every challenge that we will face, and every single obstacle before it even unfolds before us. We can trust him, even when we don't understand why, because he understands perfectly. He's omnipresent. He's always with us. Psalm 139 verse 7 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" See, whether it's in the valley or on the mountaintop, in the storm or in the stillness, God is right there with us. We are never, ever alone. He's unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, "I, the Lord, do not change." Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." His character, his promises, and his love always remain constant. Limitless faith grows when we take our eyes off ourselves and we put our eyes off our weaknesses, off our doubts, off our limitations, and instead we fix our eyes on the unchanging, almighty, all-knowing, ever-present God. That's how we start to develop limitless faith in our life. When we truly know who he is, we can trust him without limits. And the Bible is full of examples of limitless faith. It's full of people who demonstrated this kind of radical, limitless trust in God. And the best part, the bit that I love the most, they were just ordinary people like you and me. They weren't anything special. They messed up. They made mistakes. But they still had this limitless faith to trust God and believe God for the impossible. Think about Abraham, a faith that steps out. Hebrews 11 verse 8 says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called, and he went out, not knowing where he was going." Abraham had left his home, his security, his culture, simply because God said, "Go." He had no sat-nav, no roadmap, just the voice of God. Let me tell you, that's limitless faith. Are you willing to move when God says go, even when you don't know all the details? What about Peter? He had a faith that walked on water. In Matthew 14, Peter sees Jesus walking on the sea and says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come." And Jesus just simply says, "Come." Peter steps out of the boat, out of the familiar, out of the safe, and begins to walk on water. And as long as his eyes are fixed on Jesus, the impossible becomes possible. But when he looks at the waves and the wind, and he fixes his eyes away from that limitless God to the circumstances, then he starts to sink. See, faith that trusts beyond what we can see must always keep its eyes fixed on Jesus, not on the storm that's round about us. And let me tell you, some people think that Peter failed because he started to sink. But just, if you've ever walked on water, you can pop your hand up. Put your hand up if you've tried in the swimming pool. What about the centurion? He had faith that believes the word alone. In Luke 7, the centurion tells Jesus, "Just say the word, and my servant will be healed." See, he didn't need Jesus to come to his house. Didn't need Jesus to lay hands on him, to anoint him with oil. He simply believed in the authority of Jesus' word. Jesus was amazed and said to him, "I have not found such great faith." How many of us are willing to take Jesus at his word, without needing signs, without feeling all fuzzy inside, without needing proof? Just take him at his word. But let's be honest though, we all have hindrances to having that limitless faith in our life. And if we're being truthful, we all want to have strong faith. We hear the call to trust God, to believe for the impossible, and to walk by faith and not by sight. But if we're real and honest, there are things that make faith feel hard. Life throws challenges at us, chip away at our confidence, and then they test our trust. So let me just give you three common obstacles that often stand in the way of growing limitless faith in our life. The first one is fear. Fear. Fear is one of the greatest enemies of faith. It whispers lies in the dark. What if it doesn't work out? What if I get disappointed again? Do you know what fear does? Fear always magnifies the problem. Fear always minimizes God's power. But faith always answers back. Even if I don't see it yet, I believe that God is still working behind the scenes. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." God's presence is the antidote to fear. When we remember who is with us, fear always loses its grip. The second thing that always holds us back is doubt. James 1:6 tells us that the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Doubt always causes instability. It makes us hesitant. It makes us unsure. Doubt often looks at the natural, the facts, the odds, the reports, and it always forgets about the supernatural power of God. Always. Doubt says, "How can this be?" But faith and response simply declares, "With God, all things are possible." Faith doesn't deny the facts. It simply believes that God is greater than the facts that are before you. Or maybe the thing holding us back is past disappointments. And that might even be the biggest obstacle, and is that pain of the past disappointments in your life. You prayed, you believed, and things didn't go the way that you hoped. That's the kind of pain that can cause us to silently shut down our faith. But friends, let me encourage you today. God is still faithful, and God is not finished with your story yet. Like I'm always saying to people, if you're not dead, God's not done. Always. And then I think about Lazarus, and he was dead. And God still wasn't done. Don't let yesterday's heartbreak harden your heart. Allow him to heal you so you can trust again. Today, choose faith over fear, trust over doubt, and hope over disappointment. Why? Because God is not finished with you yet. I don't care what age you are. He's not finished with you yet. He still has more chapters to write in your story today. Regardless of your past, regardless of what you think you've done or not done, the disappointments you've caused to other people, God's still not finished with you yet. Never. Don't write yourself off. And you know, we can actually cultivate limitless faith in our life. Limitless faith doesn't just grow automatically. It's not something that we stumble into overnight or possess simply by desire. Like a garden at home, faith must be intentionally nurtured, it must be tended, and it must be cultivated over time. And the good news in that is, though, is that God has given us practical ways to grow a faith that endures hardship, that believes the impossible and sees beyond what is visible. So let me give you quickly four ways that you can cultivate limitless faith in your life. You probably know them, but let me remind you. Firstly, soak in the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Scripture is full of faith. The more you fill your heart and mind with God's Word, let me tell you, the stronger your faith will become. Why? Because His Word reveals who God is. His promises, His nature, His power is all revealed in there. And let me tell you, don't ever come and say, Stephen, God is not speaking to me. Especially if it's been 6 months since you opened your Bible. See, when you know what He has said, you can stand on it. You stop relying on your own feelings and you start relying on the truth that is in Scripture. Just as our physical bodies need daily nourishment, our faith needs daily doses of the Word of God to grow and thrive. And if you're not reading your Bible every day, start small. I'm telling you, read it every day. A few verses a day to start with, and you'll realise the benefits. And before long, you'll be reading whole chapters every day. Get it in there. Soak it in. Let it build your faith. Secondly, spend time in His presence. There's no substitute for time spent with God. And let me just put a caveat in there. Don't open up a new Bible, new version Bible app plan. Open it up, tick all the boxes and pretend that you've read it. Because it says on your wee thing that you've done 200 days. You can get a day added to that when you open the app up and shut the app again. Like, I'm not really interested in how many days you've been reading it. I want to know what's been saying to you. No substitute for time spent with God. In His presence, fear dissipates, anxiety fades, and our hearts are strengthened. Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. See, when we draw near to God in worship, prayer, and stillness, our perspective always shifts. We begin to see our circumstances through His eyes rather than our own. Faith flourishes in an atmosphere of intimacy. The more time you spend with Him, the more your heart aligns with His, and the more confident you become in His ability to work in and through your life. And let me just remind you, this might sound harsh, but an hour and a half on a Sunday is not enough. It's not enough. If you want to survive Monday through Saturday, coming for an hour and a half on a Sunday is never enough. Every single day we need to be getting in His presence. If you don't know how to do that, come and speak to us. We will help you to do that. Like, it's not enough just to think, well, I've ticked that Sunday box off, I'm good for the rest of the week. Like, by Tuesday, you'll be flagging. Thirdly, can I encourage you to surround yourself with faith-filled people? Your environment matters. The people that you allow in your inner circle will either feed your faith or they'll feed your fear. Every time. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Likewise, walk with the faith-filled and you become faith-filled. Find a community, a life group, a mentor, a friend who will speak life, believe with you and remind you of God's promises when you forget them. See, faith is contagious when you're in the right company. If you're not in a life group, I'm going to plug life groups. You need to get in a life group. Like, just reading the reports from life groups this week from the leaders and the stuff that's been happening in our life groups, you need to get in one. Like, stuff is happening in our life groups. People are encountering Jesus. People are getting their faith built up. People are getting words spoken over them, prophecies spoken over them. Lives are getting changed in our life groups. You need to get, if you're not in one, come and see us. Like, you need to be in a life group. Fourthly, you can recall what God has done in your life. David mentioned that earlier. One of the most powerful ways to build faith is to remember, recalling the past faithfulness of God. It prepares you to trust him for the future. See, David, before he faced Goliath, he remembered how God had delivered him from the lion and the bear. He reminded himself and others of God's track record of working in his life. Testimonies always become seeds for future miracles. When you feel weak in your faith, rehearse what God has already done in your life or in the life of other people. Keep a journal of answered prayers. When we went to visit a life group this week, they had started a journal and they were writing down every single prayer request. And then they were ticking them off, thanking God as he was answering the prayers, encouraging them, encouraging each other that God is listening and God is answering prayers in their group. It was brilliant to see. So good to tick them off and God answered that prayer, God's answered that prayer. Because these moments, they remind you, if God did it before, he can do it again. Faith isn't accidental, it's intentional. So dig into the word, dwell in his presence, choose the right voices to listen to, and never ever forget what he's already done in your life. And as you do, your faith won't just grow, it will become limitless. See, faith isn't just something we believe in our hearts or confess with our mouths. True biblical faith always results in action. Always. James writes in James chapter 2, he says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. In other words, faith that doesn't move doesn't live. Limitless faith is not passive. It's powerful, it's bold, and it's obedient to what God is saying. It doesn't wait for the perfect conditions or the visible guarantees. It steps out trusting God, trusting that God will meet us as we take that step of motion forward. Think about the heroes of Scripture who put their faith into action. Noah built an ark when there wasn't a drop of rain in sight. Why? Because God simply said to do it. His obedience saved generations. Moses raised his staff over the Red Sea and God parted the waters. The miracle happened after the act of faith. Like, how would you feel, God telling you, lift up your staff in front of the whole ocean, it will split and you will walk right through. We know the story. He never knew the story. And he had the faith enough to lift up that staff. Would you have that faith? Would you have that same faith today? Joshua and the Israelites marched around the walls of Jericho in silence and then shouted in obedience and the walls fell down. I've never heard such a crazy battle plan in all my life. Like, who would like to be that soldier walking around there 7 times in silence? The people inside must have been laughing like crazy. Crazy. Well, what about the woman with the issue of blood? She didn't just wish for healing. She pressed through the crowd, reached out and touched Jesus' garment, and power flowed. She could have had faith right where she was, but she was moving. She knew that if I just get to him, I'm going to get healed. Like, too often we sit in our seats thinking that's enough. Move. Like, when the invitation comes, you need to move and receive that healing. None of these people saw the results before they moved. They acted in faith and God responded with power. Their obedience was the seed that released the miraculous. God is not looking for spectators. He's looking for participators. He's calling us to trust him enough to move. The question is, though, what is he asking you to do in faith right now? Is it to start that ministry that's been on your heart? Is it to pray boldly for healing even when the report looks bad? Is it to give sacrificially even when the resources are tight? Is it to share the gospel with that colleague or friend? Is it to believe for restoration in a broken family relationship? Don't wait for certainty. Don't wait for the time where it feels like it's easy, where everything's lined up in a row. Because it will never be lined up in a row. Limitless faith acts even when the outcome is unclear. Whatever God is calling you to do, can I encourage you to take that first step? He'll meet you right there. It's time to act. Do you know, Scotland has such a rich spiritual heritage, a heritage of revival, of mission, of powerful preaching and prayer. But let me just remind you, God is not finished with Scotland yet. There is a new wave of the Spirit rising. There's things happening. But like I said last week, we must have the faith to believe again. Faith that believes for revival in our churches. Faith that believes for restoration in our communities. Faith that believes for healing in our families. Faith that believes for transformation in our schools and our cities and our towns. The church in Scotland must rise with limitless faith, believing not what we see in the news, but what God says in his word. We declare over Scotland today, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. We speak revival, fire, fresh anointing, supernatural faith. This is not the end. This is the beginning of a new era of miraculous in this land. And as Pentecostal people, we are not strangers to the supernatural. Why? Because we are people of power, people of the Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not just for tongues and goosebumps. That's like, it's to empower us for bold, faith-filled living. The early church, they prayed with boldness. They prayed for the sick, they raised the dead, they faced persecution with joy. What fueled them? Faith that knew no limits. We need that again today. I tell you, church, God is doing stuff in our country. God is working and moving that. When Michael and I and David, we joined on a bi-monthly prayer meeting with pastors and leaders. Last week there was, I think, over 100 different pastors and leaders from all over Scotland on that prayer meeting. God is working, God is moving in his church, in this land. People are getting saved, people are getting baptised. There's just incredible stuff happening. I don't want to be sitting on the sidelines. I don't want Found Church to be sitting on the sidelines saying, oh, look, it's happening over there. I wish it was happening here. But we need to have faith to believe again. It's going to work in and through us to believe again. As we've seen over the last few weeks, the Spirit of God is not less powerful today than he was in Acts chapter 2. What we simply need is a generation willing to believe. The band can come. Found Church, I believe today that God is calling us to rise up in limitless faith. A faith that's not confined by what we see, but is driven by who he is. Can I encourage us? Let's never ever settle for safe, predictable, boring, dull Christianity. I promised I wouldn't make any more cheeky comments about the Presbyterian Church, so I'll stop right there. After last week, let's not settle for safe, predictable, boring, dull Christianity. Let's believe God for the impossible. Believe God for the impossible in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our nation. Let me tell you today, church, your situation might be looking dark, but let me remind you today that God is always greater than your situation. Your prayers might be seem like it's going unanswered, but let me remind you today that God's timing is always perfect. You need to believe again. Your strength might feel small, but let me remind you, his strength, his power is limitless. It's not us that fight the battles. It's him. You might feel weak and small, but his power is limitless, working in and through you. Can I ask you today, church, will you trust him? Will you believe again? Will you believe again? And as we close this morning, I want to do something a little bit different. First,
or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.